Greetings, I'm Dave.
And I'm Stacy. Welcome to the Plants Change My Life podcast. We are a husband and wife team living in Houston, arguably the barbecue capital of Texas, who share a passion for good food and holistic wellness. We are on a mission to inspire people to live their best lives through healthy food choices, one meal at a time. In this podcast, you will hear stories about how real people have experienced awesome changes by embracing a plant-based diet. Today's guest has an inspiring story and shows how growing in life is rooted in growing in health. Her name is Stevie Harrison. She has her husband Zoe supporting her along this journey as they take on new life and business endeavors. We had a great time talking to both of them in this show. So grab your tea and take a seat. Here it is. So we're here today with Stevie, a beautiful lady that I met at one of the farmers markets in Houston, and we connected basically over the shirts that we created, and there's a slogan on the shirt. It says, "Plants change my life."
Yes.
And she actually saw one of our friends wearing the shirt, and I believe she had a conversation with him, and he came back over to us, and he was like, "Hey, there's a lady over there. They're plant-based too." And I was like, "What?" You know, because it was like a young family, so I was like, I'm all about like meeting other people that are plant-based.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, let me go over there and talk to her and see what's going on. So my husband kind of manned the booth, and I went over to talk to her and was just asking her about her business and her story. And that's how we got our, that's why I was like, oh, I love her story. I need to get her on this podcast. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I'm here. I'm here. Yes, it was beautiful, like me and my husband meeting y'all, you, Stacy, and your husband. When I seen the shirts, you know, it kind of took me back in my healing space, because before I introduced the plant-based eating, I had broken out with, it's called Candida or the yeast overgrowth. And it was because of the types of foods that I was feeding my body, feeding my system. I could care less about food, honestly. Like, I was eating sugar, nothing but sugar, candy, chips, ice cream, candy, chips, and ice cream. If I could have that, then I was okay. Like, my husband is like, you need to eat. And I'm like, babe, look, I got a bag of chips. I got some ice cream. I'm okay. I'm good, you know? And it came to a point to where that I needed to find out, like, why, you know, why are you addicted to sugar? You know, more so, why do you have spots on you? Because at this point, it went through my blood, you know, and I needed to heal myself. And I'm still in self-discovery, you know. My self-discovery started with Buddha and me learning to love myself. I realized that I needed to change the way I eat. And then from there, I did research on Dr. Sabi, and everything kind of made sense. I had enough information to heal myself, and it was the teas, it was being outside in nature, and most importantly, it's changing my diet. From Dr. Sabi, I didn't go with the alkaline diet, but I did. I did research. I did the alkaline diet. I didn't do it for long because it was a little boring to me, you know. I kind of like to break the rules. Like, I'm okay with following the rules, but it's like if it's too boring, you know, I kind of like want to do my own spin to it. So I went into learning about eating according to my blood type. What's his name? Dadamo, or Eat Right for Your Type.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that.
I never got his book. I never read his books, but I just did my search online. And from there, I found out my blood type, and I just started eating foods that was right for my system. And from there, along with the teas that I was consuming, I ended up healing myself. And I never turned back. So I realized that even with me eating according to my blood type, I'm blood type B positive. And I can't really have, like, the meats and stuff that's the norm. The chicken, I can't have it according to my blood type. The beef, moderation, you know. But for the mainly vegetables is what I could consume, the vegetables. And I just went from there. I just started eating healthier. And then in a result, like I said, the teas, I ended up healing myself. And then I just never turned back. And I created Planted from it. And Planted is just it's a pop-up. I cook, give the people a fun way of eating, but it's still vegetables. Like, because I know a lot of people, they want to go vegan or they want to, you know, switch their lifestyle, but they're so used of having their comfort foods. Like, how can I go this route and I can't have the convenience of just grabbing a burger really fast or some fries or, you know, things like that.
So tell me, when we spoke before, you mentioned that you were a traditional baker. Was it hard for you to make that transition?
To end the bakery, because of the space I was in, it was not difficult at all. It was just a boom, I'm done, you know. And then even while I was in, like, even while I had the bakery, I was, like, my self-control and my willpower to not consume those sweets, it was strong. Like, I was baking. I couldn't test my products. I wouldn't. Like, I would have my mom. My mom would test them for me. Okay, lady, this is good. Nickname, lady. Mm-hmm. Lady, this is good. You know, my husband would try them for me. Mm-hmm. You know, but I wouldn't eat it. And then at that point, I'm like, you know, I know the fact that sugar is a drug. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm poisoning the people. Mm-hmm. It started to convict me. So that's why releasing the bakery, it was not a problem. Like, releasing it in that sense and then turning around and understanding that even the partnerships for me at that time, I had to kind of back away out of it because the motives, the intent, the heart, the love, the passion, it wasn't the same as mine. So it was just so many different things that my spirit was showing me, like A, B, C, okay. Make your decision. Boom. Did it. Everything was just lining up. Like, it's like I had to do that in that moment. And, you know, I had people upset with me, you know, but I had to do at that time what was right for me. And it wasn't about having material possessions at that time. Because at this point, I wanted to give up everything. I was ready to give it all up. Just to be able to start anew. Something that I was... I'm doing it because of me, you know, not because I had outer influences or people influencing me to be or do what they wanted me to be and do. So I felt empowered. I felt like I rebelled, you know, against what other people were wanting me to be and do.
So we hear that a lot when people are making that switch to do something different. And mm-hmm. a lot of times when you go against the grain, like that's what you're rooted in, your mm-hmm. your family members are rooted in the same thing, your close friends are usually rooted in the same thing, and they might take it personal to see you change, make that change, mm-hmm. and like feel like you think of them a certain way because they're not taking the same steps. So in your personal experience, did you find that same situation? Was it difficult? Like, you spoke a little bit about it, but how did you deal with that? Like,
for a long time, you know, I'm always talking about, like, face your fears or face, you know, some of the things that, like, some of your decisions or choices you've made. I'm always talking about that. And I don't think I just dealt with it like I should have. I think I just allowed it to be. But not me dealing with it. You know, like kind of like storing it away in my head somewhere, you know, and knowing at some point it was gonna come back up, mm-hmm. you know. I'm not a person of conflict. Like, I don't want to ever have a reason to pick a fight with someone or argue. So for my family, it was kind of like, I was kind of tucked off. I was kind of ducked off. I didn't want to see them for a while, mm-hmm. you know? But eventually, you know, I realized, like, I kept saying that my bakery was a failure because it only lasted for 8 months. Mm. But just about a month ago, right before I started planting back up, and I knew, like, anything that I do, I like to serve people, you know, uplift them if I can. And it was never about the money to me. That's why it was so easy for me to give it up, because I knew, like, I just wanted to reach people and I wanted to give them sweetness, you know? And I ended up stumbling across my old profile, the square, and it had all of like the revenue we've made. And in 8 months, and this is personal, but I must share it because I feel like it's an accomplishment. In 8 months, the bakery made, $40,000. Made $40,000, and it was a high number, and I was able to reach 1,700 people in 8 months. So when I seen that, it was like because even though my husband would tell me, like, love, the bakery, it didn't fail. Like, you were handling, like, but it was your first business. You were handling everything. Like, you did phenomenal. But my illusions, I couldn't see. Thank you, babe. Like, I would hug him. Thank you for lifting me up. But I still couldn't see past my own beliefs, my own limited belief. I couldn't see it. So I had to get in a position of being able to see. And then even when I had just seen the numbers, my spirit was like, it was never about the money for you. You were just there. You were being a service. That was it. Mm. You know? So it... I don't know if I kind of went over on the question that you asked. No, this is like me being able to, I get it now, mm-hmm. you know. When I left the bakery, I said, you know, I'm really going to devote my time in helping people. I'm really going to mentor others, you know. And I was limited in that, you know, I'm thinking I needed to do it a certain type of way. Baking is now a past life for me, you know, and I didn't go to school to bake. I didn't go to school to cook. Those are gifts that the Creator gave to me to use, to help reach people and heal people. And I realized even then that you can still motivate, encourage, empower, uplift people through your cooking. So it's just been a learning experience, and me being able to, that's expansion, you know, like not being stuck on doing something a certain type of, only one type of way. Like, there's many ways. So
with your baking business having so much success before your transition, were you actually conscious of the potential that your new business would have after being in this place of overall wellness?
Yeah, now, you know, because even when I got into the bakery, when I first got, everything moved so fast, y'all. Like, I started baking at home, from home. I was doing little pop-ups. I would have, like, bake sales at the house. Like, come on, y'all, I'm having a bake sale. And the close friends and people who follow me will come to the house. And, we rented a kitchen, and then I had like a little space. Like, it didn't last long, but because the bakery, it ended up becoming available. It used to be a donut shop, and it ended up becoming available. And even my husband was like, slow down. So at this point of self-discovery, I haven't even reached my self-discovery yet. My husband sees this clearly, but it's like, this is for me. Like, look, like it's available. I manifested this and it's just here. Rushed. Not even fully knowing myself. I knew what I want. I knew what my intent was, but the partnerships, you know? Mm-hmm. But everything is a learning experience, you know? Like, there is no hate in my heart from what was. Like, I get it. Like, I had to go through it because I was warned. Didn't see the warning because I thought it was for me. It was at the time, it was, I got my bakery. Like, what? I'm 28, I got my bakery. Like, baby, we young, we about to get it. We was. But at, like I said, when I had that awakening, and then during my awakening at the bakery, y'all, some paranormal activity started to happen. It didn't scare me, but it was just signs from spirit alone that was just like, and my bakery sat on a cemetery of African Americans from what, 1500s, I think. Like they just made it. And then it was just so many things that was just speaking to me that I was clear of after what, so many months, like after a couple of months, like when I went into that self-discovery mode, it was like, okay, this is a game changer. Are you ready? And I just did what I had to do. And I'm grateful for it right now, today. I'm grateful for every lesson, every experience, because it's wisdom. Mm-hmm. It's wisdom.
Is your husband plant-based too? Like, did you convince your husband to make the change?
Well, I'm not the type of person that tried to throw my lifestyle on anybody. So it was more of a choice. I asked him, like, if you want to eat this way, it's fine. However you want to eat, I'll cook it. Fine. But this is how I'm eating. Mm-hmm. And he decided to jump aboard. And we've just been doing it together. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not going to say we're 100% plant-based. No. He'll tell you that he's more a pescatarian. Like, he'll eat the... If you have to put a title on it. Mm-hmm. Because he'll eat his fish and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I say mindfully eating. Mm-hmm. Because... just like I spoke to you when I first met you, like, just like the chicken could kind of make somebody feel eerie, a certain vegetable or fruit can too as well, mm-hmm. you know? So it's kind of like knowing what's meant for you and knowing when you need to detox and cleanse so you can have that connection. A lot of people are doing these vegan changes or switches because for some people it's trending. Other people, they want to lose weight or gain muscle. And I feel like at that point you kind of missed it. Because it's for you to know yourself. It's for you mm-hmm. to connect with yourself, mm-hmm. to connect with Source, you know?
I always had like a broad palette of like appetite, you know, a broad appetite. And so I eat in various restaurant styles or particular cuisines, and it never bothered me. But being that if I was gonna be paying for two to eat at those type of outs, then it was like, okay, that's kind of pricey. So, like, you can't go out expecting to spend $80 every time you go out. Like, the economy doesn't, like, allow you that at all. And, like, there's people that do that by choice, but then their wages is way beyond the normal means. But just to be like, hey, love, let's go out and eat this or eat that. And at times we'll go to a Mediterranean restaurant or so like that, and it's a lot easier. Because, I mean, you might go there, like, once every 2 weeks, or you might go twice or four times out of the month, however it is, but you're not eating that daily. But being that she was like, hey, babe, I'm going to start cooking like this. And I'm like, that's at the restaurant, you know? So it's like, all right, I don't have to pay $40 for us to go out to eat. You're going to do it. And we ended up with a lower grocery bill because everyone thinks, like, our grocery bill is, like, enormous. And it's like, oh, my God, how you guys cook all of this? Like, da-da-da. Because when you buy... I forget who makes it, but like the voila noodle ingredient, the quick mix, when you buy that, that's $13. Then if you want to buy fish to go with it, that's another $13. And I mean, you can keep going. And if your thing is juice and not water or anything of that nature, that's another $9. So like you just spent like $40 really fast on nothing. on a one night home cooked meal, and partially home cooked meal. And then at that time, at that same $40, we just bought groceries for the week. And she'll cook it up, prep something else. And even if we don't eat that, and we'll just eat our peasant meals, like it might be like some quinoa and something on the side, like plantains. Or it might be a rice-based dish with garbanzo beans or something like that. Just something that's going to be filling for that day that's not going to puncture our stomachs. Then it's like, that's what it is. But at the same time, we're agreeing this because it's a minimum eating and you're not like over-processing your body. Because like that's my thing. If it takes too long for your body to process, and not just for a bowel movement, but like just a process for its energy or nutrients or anything of that nature, then you consume too much of it or you don't need it. And like that's the thing with like the Western civilization. Like you've been taught 3-course meals, and in between that 3-course meals, you're still snacking and got like another like special meal set aside or so. And then on top of that, it's like, oh, work out. But who actually can do all of that stuff and get 8 hours of sleep? So like a lot of that programming goes into like your diets and things and its affection. So like your body can't break down all of that stuff. And that's when I tell people, like, if you're stuffing your face with burgers day in, day out, that's beef. Your body processes beef at a different rate than it would chicken or fish or anything. And then don't get it started with like steaks. That's cooked a different way. So now your body's going to process that different. And you're doing this day in, day out, day in, day out. Soda, soda, sodas. Oh, I got a headache. Not listening to your body, mm-hmm. why you got the headache, you're throwing sodas back and mm-hmm. pills on top of that. So now you got fat-based latex-based pills you're throwing down your face with soda, and it's just like bigger headaches. Now you got blockages and this and that, when you just listen to your body, lower your food intake, and just minimize like your palate, it'll be a lot easier. And I feel like that's what just the plant-based do. Like it brings down that palate, but the way she cooks, like I tell people all the time, I show people the pictures, they're like, man, you got meat right there. It's like, bro, that's not meat. And you know, and they look at the food and it's like, man, it look appetizing, but man, you don't have meat, I can't eat that. And I'm lost right there. Like,
it's just the programming.
Like I'm lost right there. Like it looks appetizing, but you can't eat it because it's no meat. Like, okay. But like, yeah, so that's why, like, when she was getting ready, when she told me, like, I'm cooking like this, so like, you gonna eat like this, or I can kind of make you dishes on your side, or you can just eat how you eat at work. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you trying to tell me to spend money? I'm not doing that. Like, what? Why would we cook 2 meals? Or why would I eat at work, come home, you're eating something else, and we still gotta get groceries? You're crazy.
Like a lot of people, they want to transition, but they have their spouse to think about. And I hear a lot, my husband is not going to eat like this, or my wife is not going to eat like this. But you have to remember, y'all are individuals, okay? Y'all came to earth for y'all own experience. So either make some type of sacrifice so that you can have years added to your life, or decide to
take on that extra bill.
The extra bill. Like, it's sacrifices. And to be able to recreate some of the dishes by using plants and not so much of like the type of, you know, chemicals, how they're mm-hmm. making like a lot of stuff now, but they're using a lot of chemicals. But like, if it's coming from nature, why not?
If she's going into like partial frying with select dishes, or if it's just heating it to particular degrees,
or raw,
or just raw, or in cold dishes, like it's all there. So it's like, which one do you want? And it's, well, let me think about it. And it's like, well, okay, sure. Like, think about it. Like, it's no pressure. But at the same time, like, this is how we choose to eat. You don't have to eat like this.
So, I mean, that's pretty powerful because it's, you guys spoke about clearing your palate. But, like, so the idea, and you speak about it, a lot of times people think the way to clear your palate is completely going to a weak fast of just water or so. It might be extreme, but it's, you know, you're doing a lot of the fasting and things like that, which is good. But just the simple, that speaks to the power of this plant-based eating and plants, as far as like simply just changing up your thought process and diet to eating more vegetables. Mm-hmm. That can spark that palate shift. Mm-hmm. To where, and that's what you guys are speaking about, just a simple shift of resetting your palate, mm-hmm. just through the implementation of more plants. Mm-hmm. And even if you're a meat eater, that can be that spark that keeps you, puts as
yeah.
years to your life, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty powerful, just so everybody doesn't have to think that you have to do that complete fast.
And yeah.
That's for some people to think clear and some people to work for their body, but everybody has their own body. Mm-hmm. So you have to know what's right for you.
Exactly. I wanted to, with part of the parts of the trends, they say save the animals, like don't eat the animals because they're alive, and but plants are alive too.
Right.
Everything is alive, you know? And I feel like if that approach is kind of geared towards no animal cruelty or treat the animal with respect, pay your respects to the animal before consuming it or before, you know, killing it off, like I believe that God has placed, you know, resources for us all to consume. But I think with the Western's mindset is like take, take, take. It's like a lot of greed. Like they don't really make room for that, if that makes any sense. Like that's like you have people who are saying they're vegan. I know back in the day, vegan meant the type of clothes you wear, the shoes, what's in your car. You know, it wasn't just based off of food.
Lifestyle.
It was a like complete lifestyle.
Like religion, basically.
Right. So, I have a cat. My cat would eat the birds. And I would tell him, free, no, not the birds. Do not, like, stop. And my husband is like, love, circle of life. Like, the cat is not going to say, you know what, I'm not going to eat birds, you know. But that's its, nature. You know, that's its nature. So, I feel like, just the understanding, because like the understanding has like it's like so many different levels of understanding, you know.
Just like there's levels of consumption. Oh, we were just discussing about just pulling back, because you don't need those full course meals because your body's not processing that in one day.
One meal a day is fine, you know.
And that's generally like, what we have. Like we'll have our
start
energizers.
Our smoothie in the morning.
We'll have our smoothies, and then from there, our daily energizers like peanuts, fruits, something like that's just gonna keep your body going and functioning. And then of course water. People don't drink water.
Yeah.
And then if they do drink water, what's the pH level? Does it really matter?
No, because that's a gimmick.
The thing is consume
spring
the water so it can
fine.
Actually help your body.
Yeah.
Like if your body's made up of water, why are you constantly throwing in different sugars and salts and all this other stuff? Because all it's gonna do is just mix. And then that's when your mucus build up. And then people are like, man, sinus, I'm sick. And it's like half the time it's not even your sinus. Because if it, like unconsciously, like your sinus is going off daily. It's just that your body's fighting it. Just like a lot of other things, but if your body's intoxicated, it can't fight certain stuff, even though that it's used to abating it, you know? So just that, like just concentrating on lower that food intake, and like you'll do way better, because people complain about energy. Think about the phrase or the term, the itis. You eat too much, you got the itis. You go to sleep, your body starts to ache. You get a cramp. Like, what? So think about you constantly eating all day throughout the week. Your body does the same thing. You're not actually giving your body time to rest or process anything.
So you guys think this is attributed to, you spoke about Western lifestyle and how fast-paced it is. Of course, the big thing now that we hear in all different realms, especially since Nipsey Hussle died, is the marathon, taking those steps to get to the goal. And that's marathon is a long thing.
Mm-hmm.
Living life in that sense, especially when it comes to eating, like the goal isn't to reach, it's almost like, is our goal truly to reach fullness anymore?
Because mm-hmm.
If we think about fullness, it's you have to think about what nutrients you're putting in your body.
Exactly.
But it's almost to, if you're eating three meals a day and other meals also, then to me, you're
going based off your taste, and you want to taste this, you want to taste the next thing, you want to taste the next thing, let's go to the next restaurant, let's go to this place, you know? And, like, that's a good concept you guys are speaking about, because it speaks to the idea of slowing down and not just thinking you have to get all this in a short period of time.
Right, right.
Is there any advice you would give to someone who's thinking about transitioning to a plant-based diet?
If they ask, like, I could only share my experience, you know, and offer them that because I know it worked for me. So, like, I tell everybody, even before I went full vegan, it was vegetarian first. So baby steps. Start somewhere. Like, don't go straight into plant-based or straight into vegan if you know you don't have that willpower. Just take your time and have support around you. Someone who could respect your wishes and your way of living and wanting to make that change because it's for the better.
I also asked someone, like, what's their current diet like? Like, what does that look like for you? As for, as Dave mentioned earlier, like, instead of someone just making that drastic change, because that would be crazy. Like, don't do it. Because a lot of people do that, get into those trends. You just into what you know. So, like, what is your current diet?
Yeah.
And then if your current diet don't allow, will add up to anything that looks like it is in this channel, then don't just go and dive into that. So, yeah, taking those small steps into it, like at least trying a dish or a snack.
Yeah.
Because if I were to take someone to a Mediterranean restaurant or, like, an actual Japanese restaurant, they wouldn't know what to do. A Mediterranean restaurant, they'll look for probably lamb or falafel, like something that looks original or something that they're already used to. Same thing if I take them to a Japanese restaurant, they're going to be looking for sushi. And then a particular sushi, not even just sushi. So even in those given environments, like over here, like we have access to so many food options. And even like if you get down into like the mom and pop shops, those food options get like very distinct because now it's actually their culture and the way they cook it. It's not commercialized into the U.S. Toleration. So it's like, think about what your current appetite looks like and then go from there. Then rather than like just saying, I'm going to do this. And then you go to a restaurant and try 3 or 4 things and it not be you. Yeah. Because a lot of people, especially over here in like the way that they commercialize vegan products, soy. And they multiply like crazy. Like everything is soy and starch, cornstarch, everything. So it's like, wait, time out. I don't think I should be eating that much soy. Or I don't want to consume that product because it's X amount of cornstarch in there along with that soy. I mean, you keep putting that stuff together, then something's not going to agree somewhere. You're going to get stopped up somewhere. And then so when you're consuming like I hate soy. Like we went to like a Vietnamese restaurant. She was like, "Babe, you never tried the General soy or the lemon pepper soy?"
And I'm
like,
new.
"You're saying the word soy. Like all I hear is soy. Like I don't want any of it." Yeah. And she's like, "Try the General soy," and because I love General soy chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried it. I got it, and soy, disgusting. Yeah. And then so like that's the thing. Even like when people see her dishes, when I show them, they're like, "Oh, so what did you do to the soy to do this?" I'm like, "Soy, what?" I'm like, "No, soy nothing." And or even like, what's the tea one?
Temp.
No, the other tea one. Tofu.
Tofu. Yeah.
Still soy.
Soy.
But yeah, it's like, "Oh, it's tofu." Like, "No." Then, "Oh, you overboard the soy." And it's like, "No, none of that is that."
I mean, I think everybody has their own steps of transitioning. But I do think it's important that people like you guys and us to put these businesses out there to show that you can make food without some of these ingredients that have been thrown to us. You know, just like we all know, you look at all these different packaging ingredients and you see soy in most of them, or you might see wheat in most of them, or different things that are just thrown to us. And being aware of what's in our foods and actually questioning it and actually determining how it affects our own bodies individually is what's important. And once we realize that a certain ingredient can affect us negatively, we need to have options to be able to eat the same foods that we enjoyed before without those ingredients that affect us. So I really like that you guys are mentioning these things.
Another thing is the why. Mm-hmm. Ask what's their why. Mm-hmm. Because if their why have like any substance to it, they'll stick to it. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's not because it's a trend or because some of my friend is doing it, then you will know like whether or not if it's something that you can go for long term, mm-hmm. for the sake of your health, mm-hmm. at least for you to kind of reprogram your mindset, you know.
But just to add though, I would say like just for any creative venture, it just takes patience, persistence, and consistency.
Oh, Shay.
And especially dedication. The same thing it would do if you were altering or changing your diet. It's pretty much the same thing. Like if one of those are lacking, find a way to empower it. But I'm not saying all those have to be working at 100% at all the time, but they have to be somewhere above 80% just for you to see like any growth in whatever you're working on or doing. And that just goes for us working with plant-based or me with my art or perhaps you guys with the podcast or anything. Like it had to be at least 80% until we can give it that 100 in that area and then just go from there. Because a lot of people be dissuaded or like regress, and like it's at times it's like why, and it's like, man, you was almost there, man, you were grinding, but let you hit that moment and like that point of struggle come up to where it's like I can't do this, and you just swipe the cards in and just go back to what you know. That's just like your diet. You swipe the cards in and you go back to what you know, you know, and you're just taking the early out instead of like just going through with it.
I think right now, like where I'm at with the plant-based eating, my message for the people is to know yourself, you know, and don't forget about the real food, you know, which are plants, you know, like make room for it. And you don't have to have like, cause I know like with the different labels, like it kind of separates us, and it's, you know, my dad, for example, if I say, Dad, I'm cooking, and it's like, no, he'll eat it if I'm cooking. But in order to spread the word to somebody else, I don't have any friends that's vegan or plant-based. It's like, Dad, it doesn't matter. Like, just, you know, it's vegetables. Like, maybe they want to eat healthy this day. And let them know that there's options for that. Like, it doesn't have to be a salad, you know? So, at the end of the day, I just think that moderation, balance, and fun for planted. Like, that's what, that's the message I stand on.
So, on that note, I love that you guys are extremely artistic and you dive into different endeavors. So, go ahead and tell the listeners where they can find you.
Okay. Well, I'm on Instagram at Planted Pop-Up. So far, yeah.
Myself, I am mainly on Instagram, or if you want to communicate with me, Twitter, if you don't have my email, but it's at XNBSeuss. So that would be Zopher N, as in Nancy, B as in Brian, and Seuss, like Dr. Seuss.
All right, we thank you guys for taking your time to come out and share your story with us, and we really enjoyed it.
Thank you, and thank y'all so much for having us.
All right, all right. Again, we want to thank Stevie and Zoe for that wonderful interview. And now it's time to go into the food of the day. And today's food is quinoa. Quinoa is a beautiful flowering plant originating from South America. It's of the amaranth family, which is the same family as spinach, which we all know spinach. An interesting fact about quinoa is that although you may find it in the grocery store next to the grains, it's actually not a grain. It's technically a seed. And the thing about grains is that, yes, they hold nutritional value, but it's little nutritional value. And they're also harder for our bodies to digest. So seeds,
they hold a lot of nutritional value. That's why it's beneficial for us to eat watermelon seeds, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, chia, flax, and also, of course, quinoa. Quinoa has a high content of proteins and also 9 essential amino acids. It also contains dietary fibers, B vitamins, minerals such as magnesium, phosphorus, and iron. There's said to be over 100 varieties of quinoa, but there are 3 really, really common ones, and that's what we see in the stores. We see the red, the white, and the black, and of course, the most common out of those is the white quinoa. And I guess the good thing about that is it's easily accessible, and it's the cheapest one. The red quinoa is actually used oftentimes in salads and soups. It holds its form a little bit better. And the white quinoa is often used as a replacement for rice. Go ahead and go over to our show notes for links to interesting quinoa recipes.
Also, I have to say, as far as quinoa, when you're buying it at your local grocery store, depending on the store that you buy it from, it can be a little, it costs more than rice, would you say?
Yeah, I think it costs more than rice in most cases.
I've been really excited to find that our local Costco sells a huge bag of quinoa at a really great price. And so we tend to, and I'm talking about the white quinoa, and that's where we tend to just kind of grab it whenever we're in Costco, which is pretty regularly. But it lasts a long time, and I think it's a great value for the money. One of my favorite things that I've had with quinoa was when I was in the hospital after having my last baby. They gave me they had a special menu created for me because, you know, I was concerned about having good food. But it was awesome. They had it was spiraled raw beets with carrots and the red quinoa with like a Italian dressing with red onions and tomatoes. It was so delicious.
Yeah, it was good. And I don't know if we were just hungry throughout all that stuff going on, but it was definitely good.
Mm-hmm.
They actually did some good stuff that time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the rundown on quinoa. So now we're going to go ahead and shift into the next section, which is called Plant-Based News and Notes. This is the section where we give you the rundown on some of the standout stories, the game changers, and the innovators in the plant-based world.
So Jaden Smith recently set the entire internet abuzz after taking a food truck out to feed healthy vegan food to the homeless on LA Skid Row for a day, just before his latest album dropped. And that was awesome. But today, we want to shine a light on a group of people who have been consistent in their dedication to feed the homeless healthy, plant-based food. It's called the Brown Paper Bag Movement, and it's based in New York City and has branches in Denver and the Bay Area. So basically, once a month, they round up a group of people with toiletries, healthy living supplies, healthy vegan food, and they take these bags and they pass them out to the people in need on the streets in these areas.
Yes, it's even advanced to shoes, clothes, various things that the homeless people may need. They're providing it. And it kind of just started out with a couple guys just sitting around, and they said, let's put some food in some bags and just go feed some homeless people, you know? And that's what they did, and it's grown into a very big thing. And that's why we wanted to bring light to this, and 'cause oftentimes, organizations and people who are doing things like this don't get enough attention. So we just wanted to bring some light to it.
We also want to bring light to them, their website. They have a GoFundMe fundraiser. They have a GoFundMe drive going on at the moment that I believe is going to wrap up sometime toward the end of August. Okay. So if you want to put some of your dimes together to help them out, they have a goal of raising, I believe, $5,000, and they're very close to their goal. I would kind of hate for them to be so close and to not make their goal. So we'll link to that in our show notes.
So you guys know we live in the great state of Tejas, and of course they say everything's bigger in Texas, right?
That's right, including the plant-based options.
Right.
So I have been super excited recently about all the plant-based vegan options that are popping up at the Dallas Farmers Market. And I used to live in the Dallas area, and I remember the dearth of options that were in the area and just having to really kind of, there were two really main places to go get food in North Texas. It was Spiral Diner, which is awesome. And Fort Worth, that's right. They have three locations, one in Fort Worth, one in Dallas, and recently they opened one in Denton. But it was Spiral Diner. That was the place I would always go. And then there was a place called, I can't even think of the name of it right now, but it was in Dallas. Cosmic Cafe, I think that was the name of it. And to be honest with you, I don't even think I made it over there. But I used to go to Spiral Diner all the time because I lived closer to those locations. So the Dallas Farmers Market is, it has so many vegan options every weekend. There are new people popping up with different options. There's variety. You can get vegan soul food. There's vegan comfort food. You have vegan Thai food. You have vegan Mexican food. I mean, it's pretty awesome, everything that's going on over there at the Dallas Farmers Market, especially when you think about where this is taking place. It's at the Dallas Farmers Market, which is traditionally the place where people go and they get their meat and their produce. And now it's kind of like becoming this vegan haven in North Texas. And I'm just really excited about that. It says a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty dope. You can go to one place and have all those options. You know, we talk about there's a lot of, throughout the U.S., there's a lot of different vegan businesses and vegan restaurants that are out there. But a lot of times you go to a different city, you got to find where to go. It's pretty dope that you can go to one place, the mm-hmm. Dallas Farmers Market, and you have all those options, you mm-hmm. know, outside of all the other.
Right. And there are a lot of, right. There's a lot of other businesses popping up serving plant-based goodies all throughout North Texas, which is pretty exciting too. So check out happycow.com and get all those resources.
Right. We need like a green book for people who are vegan and traveling and want to know where the businesses are, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe we should make that.
Mm-hmm. Good idea. And the other thing we wanted to talk about to wrap up our news and notes is the fact that the plant-based food industry is now pulling in $4.5 billion. That's the net worth of the vegan food industry right now.
Yes, this is recent news from vegnews.com. And yeah, it says that it's $4.5 billion industry. And it speaks to just how important and vital this industry is becoming and this lifestyle is becoming. It's kind of crazy because even big companies are starting to delve into some products that are plant-based. And you can go to restaurants and get different things that are plant-based on the menu. But with it gaining this much popularity, I think we should always remember to support our local businesses and our small businesses. They're the ones that sustain and even thrive off of our dollar. And they're also the ones that are the innovators in the game. So keep supporting these small businesses. Not to say that the large businesses and fast food chains don't have their position in the game, because they are useful for people transitioning and in those times where you might be traveling or something and it just have no other option. But I will say in those times of traveling, try to plan ahead of time and look at those cities that you'll be passing through. You'll be surprised sometimes of the businesses are in those cities and small towns. We oftentimes go to Mississippi and Alabama from Texas, and Baton Rouge has some good options, and New Orleans has some really good options. So we enjoy going to those cities and finding the small businesses. It might be a grocer or a little market or a restaurant that you're supporting that community and finding something new. So, all right, that's it, guys, for this show. We want to thank you for listening in to the Plants Change My Life podcast. Please follow us at Plants Change My Life on Instagram and on Facebook. And head on over to PlantsChangeMyLife.com for additional information about our show and our mission. We also have Plants Change My Life t-shirts you can purchase to support our mission.
Also, if you or someone you know has a story to share, please get in touch with us at stories@PlantsChangeMyLife.com.
Respect, and always remember, when you eat good,
you reap good.
Peace.
Plants change my life.
Plants change my life.
Plants change my life.
Plants change my life. Plants change my life.